Hello, fellow watch lovers, nerds, enthusiasts, or however you identify. You're listening to 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast with your hosts, Andrew, and my good friend, Everett. Here, we talk about watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like. Everett, how are you?
Just terrific. Terrific. First game of summer baseball tonight. One of my boys hit an inside the park home run, which is always fun to see. It's exciting. It was a little chilly, so other than that, it was like very much...
Yeah, a touch of a brisk wind.
Yeah, that's right. But other than that, it was like, oh, okay, we're playing summer ball. I'm doing well, man. Just working. I settled 3 major lawsuits this week. Most of that through sort of... As you like to say, brute force and repetition.
Solution to most of life's problems.
Which professionally is huge, right? Settling 3 cases, but it also is...
Now you have to find 3 new cases.
Right. I'm putting myself out of a job a little bit. That's fine. There's always more work. But it was just like I was feeling really, really overwhelmed 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago with the amount of stuff I had coming up, and everything's gone. Everything's just done.
Are you like shuttering up the business then? Or?
No. I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, the 50 meter targets are all down.
That's right. You've got these 3, you know, where you've got like a set of things that is really going to take a lot of your attention in the coming months. And it's just like, well, maybe I'll plan a golf retreat. You
know? Watch some stuff on your frame.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Olympics are coming up.
They are. And when the trials are ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah. Olympic trials here nationwide. In Eugene, Oregon. The track and field Olympic trials are in Eugene, Oregon. It's been fun seeing athletes around town.
Snoop Dogg was in town.
Yep.
One of my coworkers got a high five from Snoop because they just happened to be passing through the gate at the same time.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
One of my other coworkers begrudgingly got a high five from Colin Kaepernick, who was also here.
Yeah, was he?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what he's doing here.
Watching.
Yeah.
Because he was a track athlete also, wasn't he?
I think he was a baseball player.
Was he?
I mean, shit, I don't know. He might have been a track athlete. No, he doesn't run like a track athlete, if you ask me, but I could be wrong.
I don't disagree, but also, like, he's in that sphere.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, he's more aligned with track and field than any of the other trials going on in the country right now.
I think Monday or Tuesday was my 18th wedding anniversary, and we went to a Thai restaurant here in town called Sabai, which is very, very good. And Shakira Richardson was there.
No shit.
Yeah. I didn't talk to her or high five her.
Why not?
Because she's probably all doped up.
Probably. And she could stab you with her fingernails. I'm always shocked by her fingernails.
Yeah. You know, this trial seemed like she went with like maybe a more subdued aesthetic. Like, maybe she was, like, business.
Well, she's 4 years older. She's matured a little bit. She had, like, got to come in with a little bit. She didn't have to come in with panache so much as a chip on her shoulder. Her mere presence was the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you watch that 100-meter final?
I didn't watch any. I watched some of, like, the highlights and replays. And I watched, what's his name? Not Lyons.
Noah Lyles?
Yeah, Noah Lyles. I watched his 100-meter and was like, fuck, that guy's fast.
He's fast, yeah.
I saw the interview with the 16-year-old who's like, yeah, fuck it, whatever. I'm still running as fast as these guys, and I'm a kid.
Yeah.
Like, shit, man.
Yeah. I'm a big track and field guy. I know that you are also a track and field guy. I think that comes from having grown up in Eugene or having
been
in Eugene, yeah.
Shit, at this point, probably the majority of my life here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true for me as well. So, and you know, it's just it's Tracktown USA, man. Yeah,
it's Tracktown.
But yeah, we're not here to talk about Olympic trials or 100-meter champions or anything of the sort. Rather,
we could opine, though.
Rather, we're here to talk about yard tools. Specifically lawnmowers and weed whackers, like we always do.
We're also going to sprinkle in a little bit of the best feeding practices for a healthy green lawn.
I could provide some intel on
you
this.
You could. Every time you come over and you look at my lawn, you're like, you know, you could do this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking do that. If you come over and do it for me, I'm happy. But no, I'm not going to be doing that right now. I have the awning on my trailer open just so when I have to sit in the front yard to watch the kids, I have shade.
No, we're here to talk about watches, Andrew. We talk about watches. That's what we talk about. Today is a watches day. We're gonna talk about watches.
Today is a watch day. Wednesday watch day.
And we're gonna talk about some new shit that came out. And Andrew, did we have any overlap?
No, because I was I worked a touch later than I had expected, and I got home into a little bit of chaos. So you sent me your stuff, and then I pulled down all the things that I'd kind of like compiled, and I nixed out the things that were overlap.
All right, fine.
There were only a couple of overlapping items that I removed from my queue, but yeesh, there was.
Was that a cocaine reference? Why don't you kick us off here?
Ooh, I'm gonna kick us off with a brand that we don't talk about very often.
Seiko.
Yeah. And I don't know why we don't talk about them very often. I want to talk about the Circula Pro Flight. And I think the reason we don't talk about Circula is because they have a really solid core line. We see some kind of new stuff, but frankly, Circula is a little boring. And they do really subtle, like, oh, by the way, we released this new thing and it's pretty okay. Except it's releases. So the new Circula Pro Flight, as we've said on the show before, we going to wind up a couple years ago, Circula was a brand that I was most excited to get my hands on because I kind of like Circula and Serica were the two that I was like, you know, there's something here and I don't think I'll get it until I put my hands on these watches. And the moment you do, you're like, oh, duh. Obviously, now I get it. Ferrer kind of fell into that category for me because somehow photography just doesn't capture the way that Ferrer plays with color in person. But Circula was very much like that. These are attractive, kind of boring, kind of not even boring isn't even the right word. They're really subtle watches that have a ton of cool shit packed into them that you don't really appreciate until you're with them in person. So this Pro Flight is, number one, it's lovely. It's perfectly boring. It's got a Roman numeral 12. It's just like,
call this boring.
No, it is. And I'm saying it not in a like, A disparaging way. I'm saying it, and like this is a watch that I really like, which means that it is boring, right? What? There's nothing weird about it. There's nothing super exciting about it, except for everything. So
everything's weird and exciting. There's nothing normal on this watch.
Case is
the hands, big shock. The hands,
316L steel, 40.6 diameter, 45.8 lug to lug, 13.6 thick with the crystal. 12 without, so it's a little thick. Dome sapphire, Sellita SW200, 150 meters of water resistance. They're going for those 11 points. These are coming in at about 1,100 euros on a bracelet, and they are great. The silhouette on this case is fantastic. They have this this textured cutout, which is as a thing that Circula does. Great angles on the case. This is not a watch that you see at a distance and recognize and appreciate. This is a watch that you have to have on your wrist 18 inches from your face to be like, holy shit, this is fucking cool. Double pips at the 12 o'clock. It's not actually Roman numeral X. That was a mistake on my part. It's got the Flieger V and double dots, the Flieger. Texture outer ring on the dial, great sword hands. The orange on the second hand is, I don't know, 40% of the second hand from the balance to, you know, for from the full length of the second. So the color is kind of offset of where you'd expect it on a second hand, which is it holds that orange like in the center of the dial the entire time, which grabs that Pro Flight font that's at the 12 o'clock. This is really good. Great polishing, polished edge on that, on the bevel, on the bezel. This is my shit, man. This is the kind of attention to detail, which is why I say it's boring, right? It, everything about it is good, and the things that you wouldn't think needed to be good are good, and you're like, oh, I really want that kind of finishing. I really want like these kinds of dimensions, these angles. And Circula's delivering on the little details.
You know, Circula, for me, you said it, right? In pictures, I don't think this translates super well pictures. Yeah. It is a brand that looks to me a little like AV8. Mm-hmm. In pictures, and
it's so not that.
And when and look, I like AV8. I don't think there's anything wrong with AV8. Mm-hmm. But they make sort of lower end watches, entry level watches.
They make high production watches, and I think that's an important distinction to make for a brand to do high production. You're cutting costs somewhere.
And so, you know, seeing Circula in pictures only, and then, you know, I think when we went to wind up the last time in New York, it was like, well, this is a brand we're kind of excited to see. But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, this is interesting, but it looks AV8-ish. But I mean, really, it's just night and day. Again, not taking anything away from AV8, the quality of this watch is so apparent when you pick it up. I will say that Circula does bigger watches. Right? These are not sort of new school small watches. No, everything
they're working in that utility tool watch zone, very much like Boulder.
That's
or,
right.
Or kind of that ilk of angular, hard,
yeah,
like multi-tool EDC kind of space.
And I mean, 40.6 millimeters, so it's not crazy, but 13.6 thick. And like you said, everything's really angular and kind of chunky. But yeah, with that coarse grain texture, everything is just really, really, really excellently done tip to tail. So, I think Circula is terrific. I do not think this is a boring watch. In fact, I think this is almost the opposite of a boring watch. In fact, I think for my taste, it's maybe a little too interesting. Like there's too much going on here.
Oh no, This is a details watch.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is, but that's not the same. But that's not boring. I think that's what I'm
muted, discreet, gray man. I don't know what you want from me.
They're muted and discreet. These are not adjectives that describe this watch, Andrew.
What adjectives are you going to use to describe this watch?
Complicated, bombastic, detailed.
Are we looking at the same watch? I don't disagree with those adjectives, but I also don't think that those are the appropriate ones to describe
hold
it.
The fuck
because
on.
These are the oh.
Hold on, I was just looking at a picture. I closed it. I was just looking at a picture. You guys are not going to get the benefit of this. I'm going to show Andrew a picture, and I'm going to show him a picture that specifically.
If it's a picture of your dick, I will slap you.
This is not boring.
It's because, no, it is. It's at a distance. This is a close-up. This is a you must see it in the metal. You're going to
enjoy. Between me and you at home in your car, Andrew's full of shit. We all know it. We're just going to move on. We're going to move on.
I'm gonna choke you.
I'm going to talk about a watch that's boring, but that I still want a lot.
I fucking hate you.
So,
in other news, we are holding open auditions.
How much are these? $1,000?
€1,100 on a bracelet. So, $1,000.
Yeah. Which is a good, I mean, it's a good price. And the bracelet is
for what you're getting out of Circula. Like there's very few brands that I'm like, I don't care if you've never seen it in the metal. This is worth every penny you spend on it. If it's a watch that you look at and you're attracted to, you know, cause you get what you pay for and you really make the value of the watch. But, you know, very much like Manta, where I would say without reservation, the dollar value that you spend on Manta, on Christopher Ward, on Circula, you're not going to be even remotely disappointed. Even if you've never seen them in the metal, when they show up, they're going to be everything you expected and perhaps more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I actually don't put Circula in the same category as Manta.
Not,
or probably not even Christopher Ward.
Not in the category, really, but in the way of the bang for your buck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But I think you just kind of have to know what you're getting into, right? Mm-hmm. If you're looking for something really sort of refined and
it's not classic, that. This isn't that, right? Like right. Just like I think Boulders is even in that zone of like, if you like Boulder and you like that aesthetic,
but you maybe want just a little bit more refinement.
Yeah, I think you're there, but Boulder, you're going to get, there's nothing about that watch when it arrives and you open the box, you're going to be like, "Oh shoot. I wish this was a little different." This will, they blew me out of the water when I finally put my hands on them.
Yeah, yeah, I had the same experience. Andrew, Omega.
Oh.
Omega is a Swiss watch company. They make a fuck ton of watches. Did you know that they have more than 100 catalog iterations of the Aquaterra?
I'm surprised that it's that few.
So we talked about the Pole Vaulter Mondo Duplantis...
Whatever.
Olympic release a few weeks ago. I think it was kind of an aside. It was like, yeah, this is cool.
It was cool. Yeah, it was a neat colorway.
So with 100 variations, over 100 variations of the Aquaterra, one thing they have never done is a flat black dial.
That shocks me.
It's crazy to think about, right?
It's one of those editions that's like, oh, we should have been doing this the whole time, but by the way, this is a new release. Hey, it's here in blue.
So,
but it's not, it's black.
So the Aquaterra comes in three sizes, 34, 38, and 41. Mm-hmm. And Omega has released all three of these for the first time ever, for any of these, in a flat black dial. Now, there are black Aquaterras, so let's just be really clear.
Yeah, there's a lacquered one.
Well, no, there are black dialed Aquaterras, but up to now, they've all been a teak dial. And so this is the first time there's ever been a... And I like a teak dial, Andrew.
Who doesn't?
But there's... Or, you know, I think they've had a wave dial in the past. But this is the first ever flat black dial. And it's a lacquer dial. And it's gorgeous. So all three sizes. The 38 and the 41 are very, very similar. We're talking about a minute track... Trapezoidal indice, trapezoidal date window at 6, Aquaterra. It's an Aquaterra, okay? Mm-hmm. But with a very deep, dark, glossy, black, flat black. Not flat in terms of...
It's not matte.
That's right.
Yeah.
A glossy but untextured dial. The 38 and 41, again, minute track, trapezoidal indices. And they've also released this in the 34, which has like the coffin shape indices and a circular date window.
They're like really soft coffins though. They're like almost teardrops. Maybe like,
yeah,
like
I think
fennel
they might,
seeds.
I think they might call them sailboat indices.
I could get with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't remember what they call these. Let's see if I can figure this out.
Boat hole shaped hour markers. Boat hole.
Well, the boat hole is the, oh, boat hole. Interesting.
Yeah. Not hole, like the outside of a ship.
Yeah. Yes, I understood.
I was saying it for people who are listening and not looking.
So, you're welcome. So, it's a coffin-shaped indice. Definitely a little bit softer on the 34, probably for obvious reasons.
Sorry, y'all, with dainty wrists.
They've got terrific bracelets, brushed, a three link, brushed outer links, polished interlinks. I mean, this is just an Aqua Terra, but it's notable that it's an Aqua Terra with a flat black case.
Dial.
That's what I mean. A couple things. So all three of these have chronometer, master chronometer, automatic movements, the 8900 and the 41 millimeter and the 8800 in the 38 and 34. I actually don't know the difference between the 8900 and the 8800 movement, maybe just size, because they're all 60 hour power reserve master chronometer movements. But there is a note here that I was like, what? These supposedly have a butterfly clasp, which pursuant to the website has a comfort setting. Does that mean that this is a micro adjustable butterfly? I don't know. I don't know the answer, and I don't doubt you will either. But that was interesting. The RP on these is 7,300 euro, which is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. It's 6,600
American dollars on the website that I'm looking at right now. 6,600 American money.
Okay, well.
That's in the zone.
It's a
lacquer dial.
Lacquer's not like enamel or whatever. It's just paint.
But it still has to get applied.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what kind of coating it has. Lacquer is not, it does feel to me like there's a bit of a, like Omega's goosed the prices on these a little bit.
I'm wondering, there's something here to put like a dive extension. I'm not saying this is what I'm seeing in the bracelet, but there's something here to be able to put a small dive extension inside of a butterfly clasp to be your kind of micro adjusting mechanism.
Well, you know, Christopher Ward has just introduced their micro adjustable. Maybe that's the new thing.
I want to see one in person. I really like these. And I have to say, in the Aqua Terra specifically, I really like the proportions of the 41 over the 38. I don't know what it is. Just the dial proportions look better to me.
Let me see.
Side by side.
Let me see.
I think I like the 41 better. And that's not something
it's
I think.
It's got more negative space.
Yeah. And with black, you want that negative space to really capture the black. It looks like they use the same size everything on the 38 and 41. And I know we're talking about 3 millimeters here. But when we're also talking about only 41 millimeters, that's almost 10% difference.
Well, and I will say these are pretty big watches. Mm-hmm. So I think 13 and a half on both of these. So, and you know, that's 150 meters of water resistance, blah, 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 blah. But these are, the 38's only 12.8. Interesting.
That didn't make sense. But in the black iteration, because typically I prefer the 38, but in the black iteration, this black, I like the 41 better.
You know, I've oftentimes told the story about how the watch that got me into watches was a Tag Heuer 2000 Aqua Racer. But this was number two for me, was a white dialed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the white
dials. It was a white dialed Aqua Terra with a teak dial. That was my second love. It's interesting to me that I've never purchased either of those because I still hold those feelings about both of those watches.
I've recently gotten on a Seamaster infatuation.
A Seamaster 300? Or
Yeah, 300. Yeah. I've been on an infatuation. I feel like I like the 41 over a 36, though I like the 36
size. Oh, no, you don't want a 36. No, you wouldn't love that watch.
No, I would, but I don't think it, I think it would. It would be one of my first watches that ever goes out the door. The first watch that would go out the door.
Yeah. You want the 41.
I love it. I really like this watch. I want the 38 and the 41. Is that greedy?
No. It seems unrealistic to me, but
perhaps.
What's next?
Okay. Next up for me. This is a brand that we've never talked about. I kind of get why. It's the Code 41 Unify. The title is Code 41 Unify Calls for Tolerance, Equality, and Diversity. And while I don't disagree with those things, that's not what caught my attention of this watch. I see the headline, and I look at the watch, and I was like, that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar with Code 41 even a little bit. And even after having read this article, looked at this watch quite a bit, I didn't even go to their website because, you know, I just didn't. So this is a 2016 brand that says that it's from Lausanne?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right.
Claudio Damore set his brand apart through transparency, community engagement, and fair pricing. I'm surprised that this brand has never grabbed my attention before because it's generally interesting and it's doing not just like cool watch things, but just kind of cool world things. What caught my attention was that this like very 60s, 70s integrated sport watch looked really good. Great angles on it, very much playing into what Tissot has done with the PRX and what the kind of market has done to follow this vintage-inspired steel-integrated sport watch look. But this one was like just a little bit more interesting to me. There's all manner of dial options on this with a 9 o'clock small seconds. This blue dial that's featured in the header of the article is kind of a small second sector dial. The case shape is good. The angles are right. And it just did it for me. It's a 38 millimeter case. It's 10.1 thick, 45 lug to lug. So it's just this really compact, kind of blocky.
Yeah, that's a great word for a blocky. Yep.
Shocker, 316L steel. I don't understand why brands even bother putting 316L in there anymore. Like, it's just the generally accepted thing. If you're doing something different, then highlight it. But if not, like, I'm wearing two shoes today, like everyone else.
Well, I will say, I do think it is important to say that it's steel, but what I don't understand is saying is saying that it's 316. Like, I don't think that there are any factories, but for so I think there's
what's a but for.
There's some factories that are set up to use 904 to tool and 904.
Proprietary.
But everybody else is set up and tooled to use 316. So, like, just say it's stainless. Like
everyone else is using. Like, yeah. I would like to get a metallurgist on the show to talk to us about maybe why 316 is the thing.
Well, I think it's toolability. I mean, I think that's what it is. I think
But why did it become the industry standard?
I think it's the combination of hardness and flexibility and toolability, right? It's easy to tool. It's got incredible corrosion resistance. I mean, 316 is a fantastic steel, right? If you don't need to like hold an edge, it's a fantastic steel. It's super easy to tool.
Yeah.
It's got terrific corrosion. I mean, terrific corrosion resistance. Like, it is.
Yeah, it's like saltwater proof. Like,
perfectly that's, stainless.
Yeah.
And so it's just a really beautiful steel for general applications. And that's what everybody's set up to tool, right?
Yeah. I don't disagree with any of your positions, but I want to understand the why more than the big picture why. SW290 movement. Pre-order now. €1,490, €1,380. This is an intriguing watch to me. This is a brand that I'm going to spend some time learning more about because they do a bunch of one-off, kind of street art dials to, you know, in the interest of, as described above, tolerance, equality, and diversity. kind of in that like Art Deco street art vein. It's certainly intriguing, but what really grabbed me was that I love this case design, the dial design, the dial layout. I haven't looked at all the available dials, nor do I care for, you know, in this moment, but this was an intriguing watch. This like little tiny block that sits atop your wrist is really attractive.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I like it.
I don't.
I do think it's too angular for me. I don't think I would like that long term, but it's interesting.
I'd like to have one for like the once or twice a month. Like, that's what I'm feeling today. Where,
you know, I had in my possession a Le Sablier or Le Sablier, whatever.
Le Sablier. It was real fancy. You know, though, their bezel was different. They had
like an octagon or a decagon or
something. Like a 10-sided bezel in conjunction with this blocky case. And that was a bridge too far for me.
I didn't connect with that watch at all. And it was like, it was wide, but also kind of like, I was just like, you know what? I see it. I feel what you're doing, but not for me.
Yeah, it was doing a little too much for me.
Yeah.
What you got?
Vero introduced a 38 millimeter open water.
They sure did.
38 millimeters, 10.7 wide, stainless steel, open water. Yeah, it's a 38 millimeter open water. 12-hour bezel, which is different from the original.
The colorways are just phenomenal.
Some sort of media blasted case with Cerakoted bezel.
Yes.
It's a 38 millimeter open water, which, yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool.
It's very cool. The two colorways available are don't add to cart. Or maybe do. I don't know. A not quite neon yellow, like lime green is maybe the right way to describe this.
I would call it chartreuse. That's what I'm going to go with. But they're calling it swell. Swell.
Which is a Seiko way to describe a color. That's not a color description.
Chartreuse?
Colors. No. Swell is not a color description.
Oh, but that's their naming convention. So they've released Swell and Cove, which are open water terms.
I understand how it works, but I also if it's green, I want you to tell me that it's green.
Yeah.
And this is somewhere between green and yellow. It is super good. And this like eggshelly creamy white is also really good.
Yeah.
And the Cerakote. I really hope more brands start utilizing Cerakoting in their bezels, because Cerakote's such a cool color. Like, it, the way it holds color is so unique to Cerakoting. And I want to see more of that.
You know, they had... So the original Open Waters came out. There was, I think, like a St. John's Bridge color. There's, you know, they're all sort of Portland themed. These are more openly themed. But all of these have a color matched bezel and dial, which the original Open Waters, the 41 millimeter Open Waters, I should say, had a black bezel over the dial. And these have the big color block, I think, is a really interesting look, because especially with the chartreuse, but also with the Cove, the white, that creamy white Cove, it is like pretty striking. Mm-hmm. Especially you see these pictures kind of taken from a distance, and it's like, whoa, what is going on here?
And the way the bezel overlaps and extends beyond the case. It makes the watch look big, especially with big crown guards. Like, I bet it feels like a 38, but it looks every bit of a 42.
Yeah. Well, and And I remember thinking that the original Open Water was a little big, and then actually experiencing it not being terribly large. So these are affordable. They're $800. They have a Nodex clasp. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
I dig it.
SW 200 movements.
Yeah, that's right. The first batch, I think, is still available, and it's shipping immediately. So you can just go on the website and order one of these.
They begin shipping
today.
Today.
Yeah. So they're shipping now
for you listening.
They're releasing in these batches. All of them are going to ship in the next month. So even if you get on, I think you're going to be able to get these. I think they've made enough. You're going to be able to get them.
Oh, these look good. I could have gone for a little bit of loom in the bezel, but you know, I'm not super disappointed that there's not.
Yeah. It is what it is, Andrew.
And it is good.
What's next?
Next up for me. Ooh. I want to talk briefly about a Zenith release. The France only Zenith Defy Skyline Edition Paris for you heathens out there. It's a Zenith Defy, and it's great. But here's what
thanks
got
for
me
tuning in.
This is my absolute favorite colorway I've ever seen of this watch. It's this beautiful ombre, kind of
jade
black. It's fucking phenomenal, and it's France only. Like, what the fuck kind of insult is that to the rest of the world? 10,000 euros. This is like, if I'm gonna buy one of these, it's this colorway, and it's France only. I've never heard of a France only, like, JDM FDM release. We've seen Euro markets. We've seen all of these, you know, regionally specific releases, but this is a France only, and it's very Seiko-esque, inspired by the Paris skyline. And I don't know. It's just a really gorgeous green.
Why is this France exclusive? Is it an Olympic release?
It has to be, but it's not specifically calling that out. At least that I can see.
All right.
But it's a gorgeous, gorgeous green. This is the best iteration I've seen of this watch.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's anything on the back that would indicate the Olympics.
Only damn 50 of them. I don't know. I wish this was a...
They're only making 50 of these?
Yeah, you'll never get one. I'll never get one. Only 50 at 10 grand? Come on. Those will go in the blink of an eye. You can't set up a bot fast enough to buy this watch.
Whoa. When do they go on sale?
When do they go on sale? I don't know. Well, exclusively in Zenith physical and online boutiques in France.
All right. Well, it's a cool watch.
What a mean release. Like, their best colorway. We're making 50. So I said I want to talk about it briefly. I think it's just an absolutely gorgeous green. And it's unobtainium.
Speaking of gorgeous greens, Andrew, we talked a couple weeks ago or last week about the new Caliber 400 Auris Diver 65 in the smaller size. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right?
In the 38.
In the 38. And we're like, this is really cool. Caliber 400, blah, blah, blah. And then we're like, it's also a lot of money.
Yeah.
you know, it was, I think there was a question mark about what's Auris's plan with the Caliber 400. And I think with their release this week of a 40 millimeter Auris 65 with the rebadged Sellita movement, is that we're going to use the caliber 400, but we're also going to use our regular old movements that we source and put in watches so you can still afford them. So this is the caliber 733 rebadged Salida SW200. You know what it is. I'm not going to talk about it. 2,400 bucks or 2,300 bucks or whatever this is on the Oris website. It's not a lot of money.
2,700 bucks on the one I'm looking at in USD.
Well, there you go. So $2,700 USD.
Do you think they run their prices on their website concurrent with exchange rates? Like they just are kind of fluctuating throughout the day and you got to play them like the markets?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that. It's a good question, Andrew, and I don't know the answer.
So the answer is no.
The dial, well, maybe not directly like day to day, but it could be that they change over time. Well, they're not changing. Yeah, never mind. The dial on this is like an a degradé or an ombre.
Super subtle ombre, though.
Pistachio?
Oh, interesting. But I was going to say moss.
As you get out maybe lichen. To the minute track, it goes almost black. So in the middle, it's like a very pale pistachio. And then you get out to the minute track, and it's like damn near black. And then they top it with a really sort of dark olive.
Foresty, kind of burnt.
Yeah, that's right. Like a burnt olive bezel. This is a terrific color. It is
such a good color.
And it's an Oris Diver 65 with an SW200. So we can move on. But I just want to say this is a cool release. But the reason I wanted to talk about this is not because I'm like, whoa, Oris, you did, is because I think it's refreshing to see Oris do a full press and marketing on a watch with a Salida movement after having just released their sort of caliber 400.
They're like actual flagship
bee's knees version of this watch a couple weeks ago. They're like, oh, but we still got you.
Yeah, don't worry.
We still got you, Pores. which that's me.
Yeah, thank you, Oris. Thanks, Oris, for considering me.
So yeah, I do really like this watch. I have never liked it enough to seriously consider buying one, but
I have a weird aversion.
I like that it's 100 meters.
I do too. But I have a weird aversion to Oris, born of a fella that I hope every morning when he wakes up, he steps on a Lego. Having an Oris watch.
This is the worst person, like probably legitimately the worst person I've ever met. And he had an Oris Aquas on a Stingray. I'm sure we've talked about this on the show.
We have. He had an Oris Aquas on a custom Stingray, which was dope as fuck. And if anybody else on the planet Earth had one, I'd be an Oris fanboy like everyone else. It was him as a result.
It's just like never. Never.
Oris could do some innovative things in collaborating with other industries, and I'd still not be interested, which is a bummer because I genuinely like everything that Oris does, but I hate it all at the same time. I did learn, coincidentally, when I talk about stepping on Legos in your bare feet, bristle blocks, if you're unfamiliar with bristle blocks, they are little, they're blocks in different shapes, with tons of spikes on them, and the spikes fit in between each other to stick together, unlike Legos that have just like their two pegs, or however many, you know, little pips they have on them to lock together. This has like bristles. Imagine a hairbrush and how they would stick together. That's why they're called bristle blocks. Those are way fucking worse to step on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I stepped on a Lego getting out of bed to go check on a crying kid the other night because for some reason there's Legos on the floor of my bedroom. And on the way in to check on crying kid, stepped on a bristle block. It was worse.
That's your other thing.
No, that's not my other thing. It was just another thing.
Andrew, what's next?
Next up, Another brand I'm unfamiliar with, saw the photographs of the watch and was just smitten. The Bowcroft Seeker 37 millimeter. This is from Time and Tide. They do Micro Mondays. Title of the article is Bowcroft Seeker 37 millimeter is a great example of why micro brands exist. I think I maybe wholeheartedly disagree with the title of the article, but I looked at it, the picture of the watch, and I was like, oh, that's a gorgeous watch. So again, this is a super like top down looking at it. Oh, that's like a refined sport watch tending towards dress. Really lovely, great top down case shape, great crown shape. And you get into these pictures and you look at this case profile that's super sleek and sporty and has this like really beautiful cut through the case. And it's like, this is not off the shelf, right? And I think this is maybe the 10-year evolution of what micro brands were circa 2015, where there were a lot of newish off the shelf watches. When we really see this proliferation of micro brands, we see some dudes like designing it themselves and other dudes making parts watches, right? And it's not to say there's anything wrong with parts watches, because there's a lot of really cool off-the-shelf parts watches that exist, right? We get to express that creativity and you know, design the thing that we want. But this is not that. This is the new age of micro brands, if we'll call it that. I don't know if I like the term micro brand anymore. I don't feel like it's representative of what's actually happening. It's a small brand. It's a new brand. It's a boutique brand. This is a top to bottom, wholly designed by a person with an idea case. And I love to see that. And that's where, to use the term, micro brands are today. We still see parts watches. We still see catalog watches. We still see that. And there's nothing wrong with it, right? Like you go to Legoland and you design your Lego character from a bunch of catalog pieces, and it's your character and it's cool. And some of them are cooler than others. But
I think that the space we live, we see very little of that.
Where we live, yes. But it exists still. And we see it. It's not the thing anymore. But this is the thing, right? This is what those people got us to, which is totally unique and totally within the confines of the weird restrictions that we watch people have established for watches. They have to have this, look like this, do this. This is one of the most beautiful cases I've ever seen. Like this case for me stands really close to a Sarb case in the innovation and the finesse of that stepped lug case. This thing is a banger, and top down, you're a little intrigued because of the kind of unusual like pyramid crown against this case shape. And then you get a profile view and everything fits. This is the dress sport watch. 37 millimeter case, 10 millimeters thick, 50 meters of water resistance, 90-39 movement, $500. I was blown away looking at this price. Because when I look at this case and I look at the design, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a $1,000 watch. Because, you know, I don't know what the finishing's actually going to be like. It's got a what appears to be a really lovely mirror polish around the bezel, which is the really only thing visible top down. heel dial, great handset and proportions of this dial. Not super jacked on the Bocroft Cambridge logoing at the 6 o'clock. But also, it's your watch. You deserve to put your branding on it. The logo is lovely. I loved everything about this watch. And for $500, I was like, this is the thing. This is why we got excited about watches. And, and like I said, I don't know about the finishing. I don't know what it's like in the metal. But this is the kind of shit that got us super excited about this segment of watch design and production.
I present no arguments. It's a beautiful watch. Yeah.
18 millimeter lugs, though. Come on, do better.
Do
the proportions are fucking phenomenal.
Better. Though.
This should be an 18 millimeter at 37. This is as close as you're going to get to a dress watch when you're not a dress watch yet.
So I do love that watch.
That case, like sweeping kind of cut. Whew. Look, it'll be in the notes. This is the watch I'm most excited about that we're talking about tonight.
How thick is it?
10 nuts. Yeah, 10 on the nuts.
I'm going to put my money this week. I'm going to save the money that you're going to spend on a Bocroft, and I'm going to save for another month or two. Because there is a very sort of, it's not a similar watch. In fact, it's not even close to similar, but.
I like fell asleep. Oh my God.
It's a watch that's going to do a lot of the same things. And I'm gonna invest my money in a slightly different watch this week. Nevada Gretchen, they released 35 millimeter Super Antarctics and Antarctic Spiders this week.
Yeah.
This is like so the story of the Antarctic is that it was designed for an Antarctic expedition, Operation Deep Freeze, which was an expedition to the Antarctic conducted by US scientists needing a waterproof anti-magnetic and automatic watch, blah 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 blah.
I've never seen the Keep Frozen before, and it's the only novelty watch I've ever been like, I could buy that. It's got a big snowflake at the center of the dial.
So they've released these in 35 millimeters, and so the original Antarctics were automatics because that was part of the specifications of Operation Deep Freeze. These are not. These are hand-wound Landrin 21 movements, which are beautiful but very thin movements, which allows these watches to come in at 10.1 thick.
Ooh.
With 50 meters of water resistance. Because they're Nevadas, you can get these on any type of bracelet and or strap that you so desire.
Not right now. Notify me when available.
Well, they still have the beads of rice. Oh, yeah. It looks like they're sold out of a bunch of stuff.
Because everyone's talking about it. Because this bracelets. Is the shit.
Yeah. But you can still get these on black racing, the brown racing, which are beautiful, leather, and a beads of rice, which the beads of rice is really terrific. Although the end links are a little long and kind of funny. But this watch, I think this watch actually really sings on the racing strap.
It super does.
Which is sort of like a pebble, racing strap. And I think that that's where this watch belongs. If you get the Super Antarctic, you're going to get Mercedes hands. Just a lovely, lovely dial. Full polished case. Are we going to call these? They're not quite. The lugs aren't twisted, but there's like a little bit.
There's like a faux twist. There's a bevel on the inside of the lug.
20 millimeter lugs, and the lugs come from outside to in, so you actually have like probably like a 23 millimeter gap, and then they sort of like
scrunch
claw in.
Yeah.
This is a terrific watch. It is just an Antarctic, right? So if you're used to Antarctic, but it's in a 35 millimeter size, which I think is perfect. You know, the spider version of this watch,
These things are just strap monsters, man. The bong clip looks so good on this. Mm-hmm. I think I go bong clip over beads of rice. I don't like the oyster. The links themselves are 30% too long.
You know, I think that is what you get with this watch.
But
I mean,
it's a design, but the bong clip on this is just right. Fucking dope. And the spider is off the charts.
Aged loom, which, okay, I've made my feelings clear.
It's a combination of aged loom, though.
I've made my feelings clear with the aged loom. Okay, so I got it. I know you got it. We don't have to talk about it. You can still get you can get the spider on the flat link bracelet still, which is a beautiful, beautiful bracelet. Mm. I think the only objection I have to these watches is the diminutive crown.
Yeah. The 35 specifically.
And that's a design choice. But I think I would like a little bit beefier crown, but these are just absolutely gorgeous. And at 10-1 thick, they're coming in at 850 on a bracelet, just over 1,000 or 850 on a strap, and just over, I think just over 1,000 on the bracelet.
Yeah. $1,050 money.
Yeah, these are just absolutely gorgeous watches. And I, at 35, these are really special. I don't think you're seeing a lot of these. You know,
is it just the fonts, spider that comes at 35?
No. The Super Antarctic and the spider are both available in 35 right now today. And the price is right.
Yeah.
The way these look is just perfect. Perfect. If you're looking for a 35 millimeter sport watch, these are great. And
I might be looking for a 35
millimeter sport watch. Andrew, fonts.
Yeah.
These fonts. Have I ever mentioned that I like fonts?
Fonts are of you know, marginal importance to Everett.
Thank you, Nevada, for giving me absolutely incredible fonts.
Yeah. I always, in my head, Nevada Gryndson is always much more expensive when I think about that brand.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're super reasonable. They're coming in at super reasonable prices.
They're in the zone. I don't like the riveted bracelet at all.
I don't either, but whatever. Fuck it. Half of the watches we've talked about tonight have riveted bracelets.
Yeah, it's true.
Andrew, we're getting close to time. Are there things you want to talk about? These would look great on a bond clip, too. Can you get these on a bond clip?
I don't know. The
I think if you spiders? Just get one of these and put it on a bond clip, I think you'll be happy. Like, pay $850, get the racing, and then buy a bond clip to wear with it. A 20 millimeter bond clip. Call it a day. Just fucking call it a day.
Yeah.
How much is a bond clip?
Depends on who you buy it from.
Is that right?
Yeah. You can get them on the Amazon for like $16.
No, you get a real bond clip. $95 from Presidius.
I don't know about theirs, though. I feel like bond clips.
I think for the one Presidius sells is a bond clip.
Maybe. I'm not disputing that because I don't know. I feel like because of the thinness of that bracelet, I'm that's always what concerns me. The best bond clip I've ever put on from Serica. And I don't know who they're using. It's like paper thin.
Maybe bond clip. I always had it in my head that bond clip was a brand, but I see what you mean. It depends on who you buy it from.
Yeah.
So you can buy them from Joseph Bonney for like 110 euro. You can buy them from Serica for $150, which maybe is the way you want to go. You can get from Presidius for $95.
Yeah, I can vouch for the Serica bond clip without any kind of reservation. The watch I really loved, but when I put it on that bracelet, I was aroused.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Moving on. Okay. Andrew, we are at an hour.
I care about.
Is there anything you just are dying to?
No, talk? I closed the links already.
Hold on. The windows. I haven't closed the windows. Let me see. Fine. Yeah. Okay. We're good.
I closed the windows.
We're totally good. We're totally good.
I write the notes.
Other things. What do you got?
Okay. So I try to make like additions to my camping setup every year, and some are more expensive than others. And I this year decided to upgrade my camp chair setup, because everyone knows you're sitting around a fire, you're just sitting around, right? Like camping is just a lot of sitting because it's relaxing and it's awesome. I decided to upgrade my seating arrangement, because for the longest time I've used the like Walmart special or the Cabela's special, just typical, you know, pack up into a little bag, and it's a little, what's the, like an obelisk shape camp chairs, right? Because they've got a cup holder, they're perfectly acceptable. They're not necessarily that comfortable, but they do the thing, right? You sit in the chair and you are just there and you're fine. But everyone has the inclination when you're sitting in a chair like that to lean back, and you push it back onto 2 feet and you rock a little bit. And I saw last year at a youth soccer game, these people who had super small chairs, like the kind of packable almost size camp chairs with pistons fixed on the back legs. And they provided a little bit of rock. So this year I decided one of the things that I was going to upgrade was my camp seating setup. And I found these chairs called they're made by a company called GCI Outdoor, and they are camp chairs with the same piston set up in the back that are really close to an actual rocking chair. So you sit down, if you're sitting forward, there's two kind of front legs in the front that just let you sit like a normal. But if you sit back, it sits onto these two flat pieces with the pistons in the back, and you're in a rocking chair. Now, the only thing that I would critique on them is that they don't have like a super high head.
Yeah, nothing to put your head against.
So you can't like fully sit your head back and just rock. But you can kind of slouch down into it and you can just rock. And it is fantastic. It's got a cup holder on the side. The only problem is if the beer is full and you're rocking with any kind of rocking, it's rocking your beer about. So you got to take a good slug off of it when you open it just to, you know, mitigate that risk. But they are terrific. They're $70 at REI. There's $70 everywhere.
GCI is the brand du jour for baseball mom and dads.
Yeah.
So when you go to the baseball game, there's like, you'll see like 4,000 of these things. I've resisted buying them because we have camp chairs that we like.
I have one set up in my dining room, and when we cease recording, I want you to sit down on it. And
I've sat in this exact chair. In fact, okay. I spent like the greater part of about 4 hours in that chair, and I was like, this thing is fucking rad.
Yep. So that was my big, that was me. I did a couple other like thing upgrades this year, but that was the one that I was most like, yeah, this is the thing. Cause you know, there's like the hammock chair that has like the two points of contact on the pyramids.
No,
that's just not it. Cause I want to be able to be stable. I don't always want to be moving. And this provides that. Even when you're set back on the piston, they're stiff enough that it actually requires a little bit of push to get you rocking. So this is what I went with, and I much prefer these to the really hard framed, you know, table on the side. As nice it is to have a table on the side, just get a fucking table. These are great, but I want a headrest, and that's just not available in this.
They're nice chairs though, and you know, the thing I was curious about with these is serviceability on the. On the shocks?
Yeah, I think they are probably a disposable.
An unserviceable shock.
But I don't know. I mean, pistons, like you can open them up and they seem to be like pretty standard size. I bet you could
with a little bit of know-how and determination, make the repairs yourself. Nobody else is going to do them for you.
Have you ever seen the 1990s Harrison Ford movie called Presumed Innocent?
It's probably been 20 years.
I've never seen it. And I've never read the book. If you have been, if you pay any attention to streaming, like what's hot in streaming, you've no doubt seen the Apple TV show Presumed Innocent. Maybe not seen the show itself, but seen references to it because
or the tile every time you go to rewatch Ted Lasso.
It is one of the most popular streaming shows in the country right now. It is based on a book, I believe, from the 80s, and then as adapted into a Harrison Ford movie in the 90s. They've made this into a show. Apple TV has made this into a limited series, so one season only. The premise of the show is a district attorney whose mistress turns up dead, and the prosecution of that. The show is...
It goes one way. If the mistress turns up dead, it's like one person did that.
So the Jake Gyllenhaal plays the starring role in this movie, and I'm going to say something. I actually think Jake Gyllenhaal is not a good actor.
That is an interesting position to take. But if you look at his body of work, he's the same character throughout. So I think I can maybe accept your position. Understand your position.
He works here. And it works really well. And he's supported by so many phenomenal actors. O.T. Fagbenle from Handmaid's Tale, Peter Sarsgaard, who is just one of the most underrated actors of all time, Elizabeth Marvel, Bill Camp, and some other really, really terrific actors that I don't really know all that well, but who have been really good. Peter Sarsgaard, like, has this ability to play someone that you're, like, slightly off-put by, but also really, like... intrigued with.
He's everything you hoped Ewan McGregor could be.
I think Ewan McGregor is much more major chord. Peter Sarsgaard is like a perfectly struck B minor, right? like it kind of makes your neck crinkle a little bit on the left side.
But they look exactly the same.
Yeah, interesting. Interesting.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm looking at the same picture.
You're not.
Anyway, the show has been terrific. So I think you're like 3 or 4 episodes in, and I don't know the story. So I think if you know, what I understand is that the streaming numbers, really impressive streaming numbers for this show, are being pushed by fans of the original source material. So... It's not first time users that are like, what is this? It's people that know the show really well. It's been rated incredible, like I think 75% on Rotten Tomatoes for the critic score and 82% for the watcher score.
When those two things coincide, like that's a must watch.
It really, really good. And the acting is really good. And the story is being released to us at a really good pace. Pacing is really important on something like this. And the pacing has been perfect. And
as evidenced by True Detective.
Yeah, that's totally fair. So this is my new thing. And I think it's kind of early enough. Like Andrew won't watch this for like another
6 months when all of them are out. Because I went to watch it and saw there's only 2 episodes. I was like, fuck you. I'm not doing that. I don't watch regular TV because I don't like waiting for the next episode anymore.
But if you're a water cooler watcher, I think it's worth plugging in, get caught up, because we're excited for the next episode. We're like, Wednesday.
The last show that I watched.
Which is tonight.
It's happening. Oh, are you putting this off?
I mean, if Kim's still awake when I get home after we're done, I told you, we got to hurry up.
You've put it off. The last show I watched in real time was Game of Thrones, and I think it's the last show I will watch in real time.
Yeah, we do it pretty frequently now because I don't mind the wait. I like to binge, but I also don't mind the delayed gratification.
I have such weird timing with Sam. We can't watch shows in real time together. So if we're going to watch a show, we're going to watch two or three episodes of it together and then come back. So it's hard. I don't know.
Did you ever watch Halt and Catch Fire?
No. Mate?
You got to watch Halt and Catch Fire. You'll love it. Andrew, anything else you want to talk to these people about before I go watch the new episode of Presumed Innocent?
Are you going to watch it without her?
No, she's home.
It doesn't mean she's awake.
Well, I'm not going to watch it without her if she's asleep, but I'm hoping to get home. So can you hurry this fuck up?
And then in that case, there's two other watches that I really wanted to discuss tonight in detail. And we can hold that for another time.
Hey, thanks you guys for tuning in for this episode of 40 and 20, the Watch Clicker podcast. Do me a favor. Go to our website. It's watchclicker.com. That is where we post every single episode of this podcast, but also articles and reviews and pretty pictures. You should go there. Watchclicker.com. If you want to check us out on social media, you can do that on Instagram or Threads at WatchClicker or at 40and20_WatchClicker. That's where we post occasional updates about the things we're doing on the website. If you want to support us, and it's important, we really hope you do want to support us, you can do that for a very small amount of money at patreon.com/40and20. Look, that's how we pay for everything. That's how we pay for hosting and software and hardware. And like if we were going to go to like wind up and hang out and have a beer with you, that's how we do that too. patreon.com/40and20. And don't forget to tune back in next Thursday for another hour of watches, food, drinks, life, and other things we like.
Bye-bye.